Sheldon Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Would you look with me in the book of Daniel, the third chapter? And we're going to read some verses, and I believe that for some reason, I can't get away from deliverance, Pastor. I can't get away from that, and I tried to look at some other things. I wanted to focus in on the Word and talking about how important the Word is, but God's theme, it seems, this week is about trusting Him and deliverance. And I guess that's what we really need to learn to do. We need to learn to trust Him because He's able to deliver. Amen? Amen. Let's see here. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, the third chapter. And we'll start reading at verse 24, although I will use the context of the text. Amen? Amen. Remember what I said the first night. Text without a context is a what? Con. Right? So don't let people con you by cherry picking. You got to make sure you're in the text and the context of the scripture. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. So when you have Daniel chapter 3 and you're looking at verse number 24, we'll read to verse 30. I want you to say, I have the word. I'm ready to receive it. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. Means astonished. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered in confirmation and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near unto the mouth of the fire, burning fiery furnace, and spake and said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth and out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and governors and captains and king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose the bodies the fire had no power. Nor was a hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own, capital G-O-D, God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their household shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands. Want to use for a thought on tonight. When they try you, trust him. When they try you, trust him. And if I could give a subtitle, I would say, I won't complain. Amen. So when they try you, you need to learn to what? Trust him, because many times when we go through our trials, we start to cry before our trials even began, because we know that what could happen. And we are masters at building a stage and acting out in our minds the worst case scenario. All right. And there's nothing wrong with preparing yourself for worst case. But when all you can see is what's going to happen while you're in it, you got to learn how to see yourself coming out of it. Amen. Many of us at church, we can see ourselves getting sick. We can see ourselves having a financial trouble or a nervous breakdown. But what we can't see is us getting up from that and coming out of it. You know how I know? Because there's so many people that always say, pray for me, pastor, pray for me, preacher, pray for me. And I just don't know. And you know what? You do know. You know that it'll be all right if you trust him. You know that all will be well with your soul if you trust. Amen. The hardest thing is to trust somebody you can't see, right? See, we can't see God with our physical eye. And that's why it's important that we come to church when we go through, because when I look at you, I ought to see God. You see, you get what I'm saying? And that's the reason why we can't make it a lot of times, because we decide we don't want to go to church and go and see where God is. That's where he is. We know his presence is here. And when you look at me, you ought to be able to see Christ. Amen. And that's why Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when I start to see that in you, then I don't have to worry, because I know if God delivered Johnny, if God delivered Sarah, I know God can deliver me. And this gives me hope to want to trust him. So whenever we go through our trials, we need to know that if they take us through, it's going to be the devil sometime, and sometime God allows it. Sometime we get ourselves in a mess. But what we need to know is the fact that whatever we get in, God promised that we don't go through it by ourselves. He said he'll never leave us alone. And so why do we cry as if we have no hope? Even Paul, when he was talking to the Thessalonians in the letter to the Thessalonians, he said to them, he said, I don't want you to cry when folks die, when they pass away, as people who have no hope. He said, I want you to know something. I don't want you to be ignorant, but I want you to have knowledge of what God has ordained and designed. And when we start to have knowledge and understanding of what God has ordained and designed, we will worry less. But see, what we do, we look at people in the world and people who don't have a good relationship with God, and we see the devil take them out, and we start panicking.
All right.
Amen. But don't panic, because God is on your side. The scripture says in Romans 8, chapter 8, he said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Amen. Now, what does that mean in our theology? I got a theology too. It means that if God's before us, then everybody else might as well be too. Y'all with me tonight? You can say amen to that. I want you to get the understanding. So just in case I get carried away, I'm giving it to you now. Amen. We need to know that God wants us to trust him. And that's what we call faith. Faith is not just going, calling it and hauling, blabbing it and grabbing it, and naming it and claiming it. That's not faith. That's some kind of exercise that the New Age wants you to take part in. But faith is when I don't see it to call it, and I don't grab it, and I ain't got it, so I can't have it. And I still say, God, I trust you. I'm telling you, okay, the father of faith. Abraham is the father of faith. So Abraham, the Bible says he's the father of faith. Abraham had no child to look at and say, I want a son like that. He ain't had nobody, because it was just him, his wife, and Lot, and a few other folks. Remember that? So he ain't had nobody to pay. He had to trust God. He ain't never seen Sarah have a baby. Even though I ain't never seen it, don't mean I can't believe God for it. That's trusting God. You may not have ever seen God in your neighborhood deliver on the matter in which you need God to deliver on, but it doesn't mean that God can't deliver. So you need to learn to trust him even for the impossible. We used to say this in the church, that God specializes in things that seem impossible. You don't hear that no more. You don't hear that no more. We used to say, I don't doubt him because I know too much about him, but we don't hear that anymore. We got to have a plan. Somebody got to give us 7 steps and 12 steps to getting out of this and 12 steps to getting out. Go get that book so-and-so wrote. It was on TV, and I'm going to tell you, if you go to the Lifeway, you can get that book, and it'll help you get out of it. Now, let me help you tonight. If you got faith of the grain of a mustard seed, he said you can speak to the mountain and tell it to move and be cast in the sea. Do I have anybody that say, I trust it? That's what he said. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. It's possible. Quit saying it is impossible. Do you know what? God, whenever it seems impossible to you, that's where God wants us. He said that your strength, his strength is made perfect when you're weak. God sometimes weakens us because we've been talking about how strong we are. Oh, I can handle that. That ain't nothing. Yeah. That ain't nothing. I can deal with that. That don't bother me. I know how to pray. But then what about the times when you can't pray about it? What about the time when it's gotten bad and now you don't know what else to say? You done tried all your scriptures out and it seemed like it keeps getting worse. But what about that? God said, that's when I'm going to take over. That's when you let me have it. That's when you quit trying to fight with it. That's when you quit trying to work it out and let me have it, because there's something that you can't do. It's something that I can do. You know that God will not do what we can do.
All right.
He will not do what we can do.
Yeah.
See, I can stop cussing if I want to, y'all. Say amen.
Amen.
You can stop lying if you want to.
All right.
But it's some things that when you can't do it, God will do it. We ask God, God, give me some money. And God said, go get a job. He's not going to send an angel with no dollars to give you and you lazy. Because it contradicts his word. His word say a man that don't work won't. Y'all see? Okay. So I'm not going to tell you something that ain't true. I'm not one of them preachers, okay? So God is not going to do what you can do for yourself. But when you can't do it for yourself, God said, I'll be glad to do it. God said, I'm ready. I've been waiting on you to have faith. I've been waiting on you to trust me. I've been waiting on you to let me have it a long time. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not. And I walk by faith and not by. Okay, so if faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, I need to wait on God. I need to be patient with God until some things start to substantiate in my life, and then I start to see substance.
Yeah.
And that's why he tells us, Jesus said, and I know I got to get to it, I'm coming, but y'all be bad with me, okay? Jesus said he tells us that you could have whatever you say. Right? He said, if you say it, you can have it. Now, when you look at that text and you look at the word say and whatever he sayeth, whenever you read that, you'll find out there is one key word. He said, when he says say, that word say is the word epo, which means to command in the Greek. Then you look at the other word sayeth, it is a different word. It means Lego. And what that means is it's just like Lego blocks. You know how you go to the store and you buy Lego blocks? Y'all got grandchildren. Say yeah. You go buy Lego blocks for them, and on the box you see the airplane, but when you open the box, it's just a bunch of blocks. Well, this is what God is saying. When you can take the word, the Lego, and you can put it together like it's supposed to be, you can have what you see on the, Lord have mercy. All right. Maybe I'm in the room. Okay, so. Let me get to the text here, because I don't want somebody to say he read and didn't deal with it, but I deal with everything I read. Amen. So here we are. We got to trust God, and this example tonight is one of the greatest examples you can read of people who actually trusted God. For the mere fact that when you read it, you'll find out Nebuchadnezzar, he made an image after he had a dream. Nobody could interpret his dream but Daniel. He came up and Daniel said, oh king, here's your dream. Your dream is you're the golden head. And then after that, there's some more nations and there's some more kingdoms that are going to rise up. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to accept that. He said, the Most High have shown you what's going to happen. He didn't want accept that. He wanted to say, well, I'm going to stay king and my kingdom will never die. So he made an image of gold and like unto the image that he dreamed. Did y'all know that? So he made the image of gold and he said, whenever you hear the music, I want you to bow down to it. Right? That's what he said. And so when he said, you hear the music, think about the what? The image. And it's something how that works in our mind even today. Huh? Come on and say amen. The reason it works in our mind today is because I don't care what the music is, it's always tied to an image. That's why if you really want to get close to God, you got to put some of that other music down and you got to go straight gospel. I'm not talking about R&B gospel. I'm not talking about rap gospel. I'm talking about straight gospel, because that will tie you to the image of the the Jesus that we all preach about. I wish I had somebody. But if you know, think about this. When you back in the day when that song came on, when Tyrone Davis came on, and when Janet Taylor said it's cheaper to keep her, you know, you had somebody that music tied you to that image. When Lenny Williams said, "Girl, you know I love you," you know who it was back then in the 70s when that song came out. You know who exactly it was that you were singing that song to. Come on and say amen now. In other words, it's tied to an image, and certain songs are tied to certain people or certain things. You know what car you was driving when you heard that song? You know who it was riding with you? You know what radio station it was? It ties you to something. So Nebuchadnezzar said, "Let me show you how to do this. I'm going to show you how I want you to worship." And you know, it ain't changed today. It's still the same. Because the celebrities, they want you to, you know, they want you to worship. They want you to worship them by buying their gear and buying their clothes. You got people out here having plastic surgery so they can look just like a celebrity. I ain't gonna mess with y'all on the hair. They buy all kind of stuff. They buy shoes and everything else, and just so they can look like a celebrity. Do you know that's worship? Because we spend our time trying to look like Christ because of our what? Worship. Y'all with me, y'all? So Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to skip all of that because I don't think that's going to be interesting to y'all. But Nebuchadnezzar, he decided, he said, "If you don't bow, then I'll throw you in the fire." Now, the thing about this is that these three boys, Hebrew boys, the Hebrew name Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, these three guys, they had a devout relationship with their God. Yeah. And they refused to bow. Yeah. And this is a great example of trust, because they said that we're not going to bow. And you can throw us in the fire, and our God will deliver us not only from the fire, but if you try something else by your hand, he'll deliver us again. Yeah, yeah. Okay, y'all don't believe me? Okay, let's read. Let's read it then. He said, look, he said, they said over in verse number 17, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Number one, we'll come out of this. That's how you got to look at it when you're going in it. You got to look at yourself as, "I'm coming out of it." Before you go in it, "I'm coming out of it." I wish I had somebody. Anybody looking at a trial you might be about to face, say, "I'm going in this thing, but I'm coming out of this thing. I know I'm about to deal with something, but this thing that I'm going to deal with, I'm going to be able to overcome it, and I'm coming out of this thing." Tell somebody, "I'm coming out of it." Oh, before I go in it, I'm coming out of it. He said, not only did he say that, he said, but he'll deliver us from this fiery furnace. But verse 17 said, "And he will deliver us out of your hand." Yeah. So if I make it through the fire, you decide to do something else, you're not going to be able to handle us. Yeah. Oh, because you don't know who I belong to. Yeah. The God that I serve. Yeah. Oh, come on and say amen here. Yeah. But then he said this. This is why this is a great example of trust. Look at verse 18. He says, "But if not, be it known, O king, that we still won't serve your gods." They said, "Look, even if we die, we'd rather die serving God than to put down serving God and serve what you want us to serve. We'd rather not bow." All they had to do was bow. We don't see nothing wrong with that, dude. In our day to day, we don't see nothing wrong with it. Oh, all you got to do is, you know, just bow a little bit. You just, you know, play with it a little bit. They said, "No, we ain't going to let nothing mess up our relationship with our God. Our total dedication is to him. I'm not dedicating to nothing else. And if God don't do it, it doesn't mean that he can't do it, but it means that we'll just be martyrs, but we trust him enough that we'll go in the fire." Oh, come on and say amen here. Do you trust God enough that when you get ready to go through something, that, "God, if you don't bring me out, I'm still all right with you"? Boy, that's beautiful. That don't you know that looks good and it sound good to God? God said, "Boy, them boys sure trust me, so I think I'm gonna let them go through it, but before I let them go through it, I'm just gonna get in there with them." I'm getting ahead of myself. Getting ahead of myself now. Look at this. He says in verse 18, but we got to understand something first. We got to understand, well, the minute you take a stand for God, then God will stand for you. Yes, he will. He will. And so when God, when you know, when they decided to take him, Nebuchadnezzar got mad at that moment. He said, now, wait a minute. Y'all done ate my food. And look, they had positions in the kingdom where he trusted them. And this was a betrayal to him. You know how it is. You done all this for them, and them jokers and sat around and let somebody talk about you around. Oh, no, yeah, all I done for you, and you're going to let them just handle me like that? You know you get mad with people. Yeah. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He got mad with them.
Yeah.
Scripture said in verse 19, and he was full of fury. That means he was ready to kill. He was ready to cut their head. He was ready to do whatever. I'm so mad, better yet, that fire ain't hot enough. I don't want them to even be ashes. I want to cremate them to the point that there's barely anything left. Look at that. He said, heat it up 7 times more in verse 18. Right? And these 3 men in verse 21 said they were bound in their coats. They were bound not only in their coats, their hoses, their hats, and other garments. In other words, he said, let's just make it more fuel for the fire. Make sure they burn. Let's put a little gas, lighter fluid on them. Come on and say amen. They decided he wanted more on them. And he said that let's heat this thing up. Let's put all this stuff on them. And we're going to throw them in the fiery furnace. But the men, even though the men that wrapped them up and put them in the fire, do you know the fire was so high that it consumed them? You know what that says to me? I'm going to tell you what it says to me. It's leaping out the pages and telling me to say that don't worry about the folks that's trying to push you through the fire, because just like they're trying to push you through, the fire going to consume them, but it won't consume you. So look, don't be talking about it. Don't even worry about them. But you let the fire consume. He says, look at this, and he says that these men, they were bound in their coats and hoses and hats, and he said in verse 22, he says, and the king commanded it so fast, and he was like so urgent that he you know, he couldn't wait for them. He said, I'm not waiting till tomorrow, you got to go today. You know how some things catch you off guard? You know, you got this trial that you didn't see. I was all right with this, but this just hit me in the face. But Nebuchadnezzar, when he did this, he did it so fast that these boys ain't had time to go have a prayer meeting. Oh, you know, that's what we do whenever we about to go through, or we getting into something. Oh, Lord, let me go to my house. Let me go pray. Let me go to the church. Let me go to church this week. Let me call the pastor. Let the prayer chain start. They didn't have time to call Daniel and say, Daniel, pray for us. All they had was faith. Sometimes you don't have time to pray. It's time to just believe, baby. Oh, yeah, if the doctor all of a sudden says something, it's time to believe. It ain't time to go say, Lord, forgive me for my sin, because you know that's how we start off, because we ain't done right anyway. We go, Lord, help me, forgive me. I know I ain't been what I'm supposed to be. I know I've been rich, but Lord, this time, would you just hear my cry? Lord Jesus, have mercy. We start praying that prayer, but that ain't a time to pray about what's wrong with your life. It's time to have faith now, because faith will reach over your trouble. Faith will reach over your problem. Faith will reach over your pain. Faith would reach over your wretched self. And look, the Bible tells us that in so many words. Guess what it said? That he looks beyond our fault and see our need. Why? Because we have faith. God don't move because there's a need. God moves when there's faith. Because if God moved every time there was a need, there won't be no hungry people. There wouldn't be no homeless people, because they need food and they need housing. But when God sees faith, he moves. Y'all with me? Oh, Lord, have mercy. And he said, now he says that he threw him in the fire. Threw him in the fire. And these 3 men in verse 23, look, this is what it said. These 3 men fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fire. I want to tell somebody tonight, it's okay if you feel bound.
All right.
I want to let that sink in. Selah. It's okay if you're bound. And it's okay if people see you in the bondage that you're in. Look at it. It's okay to be bound. It's okay to be seen bound. It's okay, not only that, but look at this, what it says in verse 23. They fell down. Sometimes it's okay to fall down. I know this ain't the preaching that we normally hear. It's okay. It ain't the end of the world. Y'all hear me? It's okay. Let them see you bound. Let them see you fall. Let them see you in your trial. All right? But as long as they're looking at you in your trial, as long as they're looking at you in your bondage, guess what? Let them keep looking because they're about to see you loosed.
All right.
It's in the text. It'll preach itself. You can be bound. Oh, yeah, I got a sickness, but that don't mean I can't praise him. Oh, yeah, I got some things in my life ain't right, but that don't mean I'm not going to give him my all. I got some stuff that people said about me. That's okay because I still have joy, and I'm going to praise him. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, look, I've been bound, and I was ashamed of my bondage. I fell, and I was ashamed of what I fell into. I was in a trial, and I didn't want nobody to know, but let them see what you're going through. Because God is building a testimony in you, and so many people will believe because of what you've been through. Oh, come on and shout amen in here. Oh, hallelujah. Then Nebuchadnezzar, he's looking. He's saying, I threw these men in, and I want to see them fail. I want to see them fall. I want to see them burn. Do you know that's what they're doing? The devil will say, tell all your haters. The devil will say, wake up. There they go. Oh, yeah, we got them now. We got them in trouble. We got them in a trial. They're about to burn up, and you know what? We're about to burn out. That's what we say. Oh, I'm just burning up now. I'm about to burn out. This just getting the best of me. I tell you what, that's on my last nerve. You can say all of that and let them hear all of that, but guess what? You're going to come out of this and you're going to make it. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, what he says now is that Nebuchadnezzar said, lo, did not we throw in three? Look at what he says now. He said, did not we throw in three people? He said, but why is it that I see four? But notice what he also said. I like what he says in this verse because this verse is a blessing. The Bible says in verse 24 that he was astonished. In other words, it caught him by surprise. Do you know that when you go on your trials and you don't die right away, and you're not taken out right away, it catches the devil by surprise? Oh, come here, Job. Did Job, I took all that he had. I took all that he had. I also cursed it, and I took his body, his health from him, and his body got sick. But then Job turned around and said, the Lord give it, and the Lord take it. Don't you know the devil, he was astonished and wondered, what in the world is Job on? After all I'm putting him through, all the hell I brought him, and he still wants to worship God. He still won't curse God to his face. I wish I had somebody. Even when his wife suggested that, he said, woman, you better get out my face. You don't sound like my wife. Come on and say amen here. But look at what he said. He said, I threw him in. He said, but when I threw him in, he says that, he said, did not I throw in three? Yeah, you know, you get the devil to question what he did. He started wondering, he started not knowing what he did. He get all discombobulated because he done picked on the wrong one. Tell somebody, he done picked on the wrong. Come on, y'all can say that, amen. He said, I threw three men. He said, but then the king, they told him, they said, king, it's true. But verse 25, he said, lo, I see four men. But not only do I see four men, but I see four men loose. Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, the text will preach itself. If you look with me, it'll preach itself. He said, I threw in three. He said, but now, and I threw them in bound, but now I see four in the trial of the fire. And they are loose. You see, you know what happened here? You got sometime when you go in a situation, whenever the enemy try to bring you through a situation, he try to bring you in one way, but then God said, while you're in here, I'm just going to loosen you up. I wish I had somebody. In other words, while I'm in this situation, I still got a change in my life. I still got some things happening in my life. While the fire is still burning, God has changed some things for me. Do I have any witnesses in here? Oh yeah, he said that I'm in a different condition now, even though I'm still in my trial. Y'all don't hear me now. In other words, let me tell you what happened here. Even though you're in your trial, you don't have to come out to be free. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Let me say it one more time. One more time. You might be in the fire, but you don't have to come out of the fire to be free, because you can be free to praise God while you're in there. You see, I'm trying to tell you, you can be going through right now, but that don't mean I'm still bound. It means that God has delivered me. The reason why I can be free while I'm still in my trial is the fact that God is in there with me. Do you know that Jesus spoke to the fire long before they got there? He said, fire, you can still be fire, but you can't burn the ones I love. He said, fire, you can still be fire. By the way, burn those chains off of them.